Good morning. Our Bible reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel. Adults, you'll see where it is on the pages up there. Boys and girls, I want you to look at the screen with me because I'm going to read it from the screen, okay? So you'll follow on the screen as I read it. Can you do that? Yeah, you sure? Nod if you're sure. Nod if you're sure. That's good. Right, okay, so we're going to read here from Luke's Gospel, chapter 20 and 21. While all the people were listening, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "I tell you the truth," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." This is God's word to us this morning. Now, adults, I'd ask you please to pick up your Bible and open it at Luke chapters 20 and 21 that we read from. But boys and girls, I want your eyes. Give me your eyes. I want you to give me your ears. I want you to give you your brains, all right? As we learn together from the part of the Bible that we read from. Now, hands up if anyone here has ever played hide and seek. You ever played hide and seek? Hide and seek's a great game, isn't it? Especially when there are good places to hide, and especially when you hide for so long that no one can find you. Has that ever happened to anyone? Has it? Has anyone ever been forgotten to be found? It's great fun, isn't it? Here's another question, though. Here's another question. Are you listening? Is it possible to hide from God? Is it possible to hide from the Lord Jesus? Now, the answer the Bible gives us is a big no. Can you say no?
No.
No. It's a big no. It's impossible to hide from God. Let me show you a verse from the Bible. Here's a verse from the Bible. You look at it with me. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Can you say the word nothing? Nothing. Nothing really means nothing. So nothing is hidden from God. And can you say the big word everything? Can you say everything? Everything. Everything is uncovered and laid bare. That means that God sees everything. He sees everything everyone does all the time. He sees what we say. He sees what we do. He even sees what we're thinking inside our heads. He sees us when no one else can see us. He sees what no one else can see. So, for example, if I go into this room, all right, I'm going to go into this room. I'm going to shut the door. Can you see me?
No.
I can't hear you. Can you see me?
No.
No, that's right. But listen, another question. Can God see me?
Yeah.
That's right. God can see me because God can see us absolutely everywhere. He sees us when we sit down. He sees us when we stand up. He sees us when we leave the house to go to school or to our job or to the shops. He sees us when we go home from school, from our job, from the shops. He sees what we do everywhere all the time. And one of the things that proves that the Lord Jesus is God is that when he lived on earth, when he met people, he knew absolutely everything about them. You see, Jesus, when he saw people, he saw what other people couldn't see. And I want us to think of it like this. Jesus has X-ray eyes. Has anyone here ever had an X-ray? Anyone have an X-ray? I know someone over there who broke their arm. If you break your arm, you have to have an X-ray. That right? Yeah? Because you see, an X-ray enables us to see things that we can't see. So will you hold your hand up? Hold your hand up. Everyone hold their hand up. Come on, especially the boys and girls. Grown-ups don't have to, but you can if you want. It's good to join in. All right? Hold your hand up. Now, as you look at your hand, all right? Look at your hand. Can you see the bones in your hand? You can't, can you? Because your skin covers. Your bones are hidden. Ah. But if you have an X-ray, here's an X-ray of a hand. And when you have an X-ray done, then you can see what we can't see otherwise, because an X-ray sees inside. Now, that's what Jesus is like. We can hide things from other people, but we can't hide anything from Jesus because Jesus has, can you say it with me? Jesus has X-ray eyes. He sees what we're like on the inside. He sees what no one else can see. And in the verses we read, we discover that as he looks at people, he can see that some people are self-loving show-offs, and other people are God-loving givers. Now, why do I say that? Well, in the verses we read, Jesus was watching some people, and some of the people he watched and saw were self-loving show-offs. What's a show-off? Anybody know what a show-off is? What's a show-off? Oh, you can't think. Yes? Exactly. It's someone who thinks they're really great, and they say, look at me, I'm wonderful. Or they basically want people to think that they're great in some way. Now, show-offs is something we can all be, isn't it? We might be really, really good at something. Perhaps we're even better than most other people at that thing, and we show off. We say, look at me. Can you all point at yourself? It's not what I want you to do, really, but look at me, aren't I great? That's what a show-off is like. Now look at me again, boys and girls. The Lord Jesus was teaching people as he went towards the cross where he was going to die. And as he went towards the cross, he told people lots of things, and he said something to his disciples. He gave his disciples a warning. Now, does anybody know, if you're driving, I know you don't drive yet, you can't drive yet, can you, Alistair? But when mum or dad is driving the car, all right, and they see one of these, does anyone know what a red triangle means? Anyone know? Yes? It's a warning, that's right. So here's some examples. If you saw this red triangle, oh, he's upside down. This is a warning. What do you think this is a warning of? Yes? Ice, that's right. It's basically saying, don't be like this man who walked on thin ice and fell through it. It's a warning saying, don't be like that man. All right, do you want to see another one? What do you think? Oops, this one's upside down as well. No, it's not. That's the right way up. What's this a warning of? Anybody know what this is a warning of? Yes, Alistair? Don't dive into the sea. Well, it's a bit like that. It's don't drive your car too near the edge when there's water. This car went too near the edge, and what happened? It fell in the water, and it's a warning saying, don't be like that car. Now, as Jesus went towards the cross, he gave his disciples a warning. It was a warning against these people. We'll put them over there. It was a warning against these people. It was people who were self-loving show-offs. Look at what it says. While all the people were listening, Jesus said to his disciples, beware of the teachers of the law. And the teachers of the law, hang on, I've got a picture of them here. The teachers of the law, they were self-loving show-offs. Now, how do we know that? Well, Jesus goes on to tell us some things about them. He tells us six things about the self-loving show-offs that showed that they were self-loving show-offs. And the first of them was this. It's on the screen for the adults. They like to walk around with long flowing robes, perhaps a bit like this. All right? And you see, in those days, if you walked around in a long flowing robe, it meant that probably you had more money than other people. Because poor people didn't walk around in long flowing robes. And if you had more money in those days, people thought, well, that means that God's really pleased with you. And so these self-loving show-offs, they wore their long flowing robes. And then there was a second thing that Jesus tells us about them. They loved to be greeted in the marketplaces. So as they walked around the shops in their long flowing robes, they really loved it when people said to him, oh, hello, Master. Hello, Lord. Hello, Rabbi. Hello, teacher. And they really loved it when people looked up to them and thought they were great. And not only that, they also loved to have the most important seats in the synagogue. So the synagogue was a bit like church. And when they turned up at the synagogue, like we have this morning in church, Sunday morning, when they turned up at church, they loved it when the person on the door said, oh, hello, Rabbi, please come and sit in the most important seat so everyone can see how important you are. And then when they were invited out to dinner, to perhaps a big feast or banquet, and they turned up, they loved it when they were told, oh, please come and sit at the top table. Please be the most important person. Do you see what they were? They were self-loving show-offs. And that wasn't all. Jesus went on to say, they devoured widows' houses. Now, what does that mean? Well, widows were women who had been married, but whose husband had died. And often in those days, it meant they were very, very poor. And the Lord Jesus was saying that these teachers of the law in their long flowing robes, rather than helping these widows, they took things from these widows. That was probably one of the reasons they were so rich and could afford their long flowing robes. And not only did they do that, one more thing. Here we go. They like to make lengthy prayers for a show. So if you'd seen one of these self-loving show-offs, do you know what you might have seen them doing? You might have seen them on a street corner, standing where everyone could see them. And they'd have their hands together and they'd be praying. And they'd pray nice and loud so everyone could hear them. And they prayed long, long, long prayers, but always having a wee look round to check people were seeing them. Because you see, they weren't really praying to God. They were showing off. They were, what were they? Self-loving show-offs. Now, the Lord Jesus showed that he knew exactly like them. And he was warning his disciples that he has X-ray eyes and he wants us to know that it's what Jesus sees that really matters. You see, everyone else, as they looked at these teachers of the law, they would have thought, oh, they're good people. They're people that God must be pleased with. But look what Jesus said. He said, such men will be punished most severely. You see, to be a self-loving show-off is to sin. It's not how God wants us to live. If there is anything good about any of us, it comes from God. If we can do anything good, it's only because God has made it possible for us to do that thing. And boys and girls, adults as well, as we think about the teachers of the law, as we hear Jesus' warning about being a self-loving show-off, isn't it easy for us to be self-loving show-offs? Isn't it easy for us to want to look important, to want people to recognize us, to want people to think well of us and to treat us well? Isn't it easy for us to be selfish, to be those who take rather than give? Isn't it possible that even when we come to church, we do things so that people think we're good, when in fact it's just for show? We're not really doing it for God. And Jesus is warning us. He's saying, don't be like a, can you say it? Self-loving show-off. Don't be like that. Because God calls us to love him and to serve him. So that people are pointed to God, not to us. God wants us not to be saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. What does he want us to do? He wants to say, no, look at God. God is great. God is good. Now, how do we know that? We know that because of Jesus. You see, if we'd met the Lord Jesus when he lived on earth, do you think he would have had on a long flowing robe? Do you think so? No, I don't think he did have on a long flowing robe. Jesus was very poor when he lived on earth. He'd have been going to Marks and Spencer's, not Savile Row. To George of Asda, not White Stuff. The adults will understand that. The Lord Jesus, he was often ignored and spoken of badly. He never sought to have the most important seats in the synagogue or at feasts. In fact, the Bible says he was willing to be treated badly, which is exactly what happened when the Lord Jesus went to die on the cross. And when it came to widows, the Lord Jesus helped widows in need. He didn't take from them. And when the Lord Jesus prayed, which he did, the Lord Jesus didn't pray in public so everyone could see him. Do you know what the Lord Jesus did? He went to secret places where no one could see him. And he prayed to his Father in heaven in secret. But then what happened to the Lord Jesus? Well, the Lord Jesus was punished most severely. He didn't deserve to be punished most severely, but when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he was punished most severely, taking the punishment that self-loving show-offs like me deserve, so that as we turn from being self-loving show-offs and put our trust in the Lord Jesus, we will be forgiven, and we can then start to learn to be a God-loving giver. You see, can I keep going with the story? You still with me? Hands up if you're still with me. You want to hear the next bit? Yeah, of course you do. Right. Because Jesus saw someone else that day he was teaching the disciples. He saw someone else that he saw with his X-ray eyes. You see, as he was warning the disciples about the self-loving show-offs, he looked up. And he saw people putting their gifts into the temple treasury. Now, what are these? Anyone know what these are? What do we normally put in these on a Sunday? Money, that's right. That's how we take up our collection, our offering here at church. Now, in those days, in the temple in Jerusalem, they didn't have bags like that. Instead, they had trumpet-shaped boxes. Now, there were lots of them, so I want you to help me count to see how many of them there were, all right? So will you count? This was the best I could do for trumpet-shaped boxes, all right? So you're going to count. One. Come on, count louder, boys and girls. Three. Four. Five. Six. Seven. There were more. Keep going. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Now, I don't know why there were 13, but there were. All right? And on each of them, there would have been little labels saying that if you gave your money into that particular box, it would be used for this particular thing. And as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich people putting their gifts into the temple treasury. Now, how did he know they were rich? Well, perhaps they had on long flowing robes. So perhaps included in those he saw putting their money in were some of the self-loving show-offs, some of the teachers of the law. And remember, Jesus has X-ray eyes, but I wonder if these teachers of the law, they had big money bags like this, bulging full of money. And Jesus watched them as they put their money into the treasury. So maybe they thought, well, yes, I'll put a £2 coin into there. And, there's some more I can put into there. I'll put some into there, and I'll put some into there, and so on and so on. And they possibly put money in all the different buckets. But they still had lots left, didn't they? They still had lots left. But as Jesus watched, he also saw a poor widow. Now, a poor widow was someone who didn't have very much. She probably didn't have a big money bulging bag. She probably didn't have a nice coat on like the rich people. Perhaps she just had a very small, thin bag like this. And we're told that the Lord Jesus, as he watched, he saw as she took two very small copper coins. Now, does anyone know what the smallest coin we have in our country is? What's the smallest coin? Yes? Pardon? A 1p. Now, the copper coins that the lady had were probably less in value than our 1p, all right? They were tiny little coins. And yet, as Jesus watched with his x-ray eyes, he watched as she put her two copper coins into the temple treasury. Now, I want you to think about this. All right, I want you to think. There were the rich people with their big bags, and there was the poor lady with her thin bag. Right, you listening? Who put in the most money into the treasury? Was it the people with their big bags or the lady with her thin bag? Who put the most money in? The poor lady, you know this story, don't you? That's good. You would have thought it was the rich people who put lots of money in. But look what Jesus said. Look what Jesus said. He said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. Why did he say that? Well, he said all these people gave their gifts out of their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, put all she had to live on. It's an important lesson to learn that how much we give isn't measured by how much we had at the beginning or how much we have left. She gave everything she had. And why did this poor widow give everything that she had? She gave it because she was a God-loving giver. Can you say that with me? She was a God-loving giver. And the Lord Jesus told his disciples, he warned his disciples about the self-loving show-offs because he doesn't want us to be like that. But instead, he wants us to be like the widow who was a God-loving giver because actually he is pleased with God-loving givers. As that poor lady gave, I don't think she was showing off. She probably thought as she put her two little copper coins in the temple treasury, she probably thought that nobody saw her. She probably thought that no one would really be bothered about what she put in because it wasn't very much. But Jesus wants his disciples to know that God sees when people give what they have got. And that God is pleased with those who love him so much that they are willing to give themselves to him. Do you know why I think that the Lord Jesus was so pleased with that lady? Can I tell you why? Because I think that lady was being like Jesus. As we think of what we're told about the Lord Jesus as he lived on earth, Jesus was a God-loving giver. As he lived his earth at life on earth, he loved God. And that love for God was shown in his love for others. And then what did the Lord Jesus do? Well, the Bible says that in obedience to his Father, he gave his life. He did what his Father wanted him to do. When he died on the cross, he was dying not for his own sins, but he was dying for the sins of others. He was dying in the place of sinners. And the Lord Jesus wants us to know about this widow, this God-loving giver, because he points us as to how disciples of Jesus are to live their lives. We're not to live our lives as a, can you say it? Self-loving show-off. We're to live our lives instead as a God-loving giver. Let me tell you a story. Some of you may have heard me tell this story before. I need a helper for this story. It probably helps if it's a boy. Okay, Ben, you going to come up? Okay, come on, Ben. Now, you've got to pretend that Ben isn't American. You've got to pretend that... No, you can't sell that share. No. That would be showing off. Right, now, I want you to imagine that Ben is a little boy and he's in a Scottish church many, many years ago. You got that? In Scotland. Nice place, Scotland. A bit cold, but really nice. So this little boy, and this is a true story, many, many years ago, was sitting in a church in Scotland, and at the front, there was a visiting speaker who was a missionary from Africa. And he was telling everyone in the congregation about the need of people in the place he'd worked in Africa to hear about the Lord Jesus. And after the man had finished speaking, it was said that they were going to have a collection that people could give money towards the work of towards the work of telling people in Africa about the Lord Jesus. The little boy put his hand in his pocket. To see what money he had in his pocket. Do you know all he had? He had a halfpenny. Now, children, you won't know what a halfpenny is, but it's less than a penny. They don't have halfpennies in our country anymore. And he had his halfpenny, and they didn't have bags then like we have now. They had big wooden plates like this that were passed along the row. And as the little boy looked at the plate as he came to his row, he saw lots of silver coins in it. And as he looked at his little halfpenny, he thought, I haven't got anything to give like all these other people. But then he did a really odd thing. Are you ready to do an odd thing? Are you sure? He did a really odd thing. The man who was passing the plate along the row, he said, excuse me, would you put the plate on the floor? So the man put the plate on the floor. And then the little boy, do you know what he did? He stood in the plate. Would you do that? He stood in the plate. And he stood there for a few minutes. Now, why do you think the little boy was doing that? Well, he was actually saying to God, God, I don't have money to give you. But God, what I want to do is I want to give myself to you. Both now and whatever I will be in the future. And he then stood out the plate. But you know, that little boy, he grew up, and when he was older, he went to Africa, and he spent the rest of his life telling people about the Lord Jesus. Why? You can go and sit down now, Ben. You did very well. Why? Because that man was a, can you say it with me? He was a God-loving giver. What are we learning today? We're learning that Jesus has X-ray eyes. We're learning that he sees us. And that means, you see, this morning, as Jesus looks at you and me, he knows whether we are a self-loving show-off or whether we are living as a God-loving giver. And this morning, you see, it doesn't matter what other people see. Some of us are very good at fooling other people. Do you know, we can even fool our mums and dads. But it's what Jesus sees that matters. He sees inside us. True disciples of Jesus are those who listen to his warning. His warning about being a self-loving show-off. True disciples of Jesus are those who admit that as sinners, we have nothing to show off about because we're sinners. True disciples of Jesus are those who have turned to the Lord Jesus and said, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry that I'm so self-loving. I'm sorry that so often I want to show off. Lord Jesus, I don't want to be like that. Lord Jesus, I trust you as the one who died on the cross for self-loving show-offs like me. Please forgive me. And please teach me what it means to live as a God-loving giver. I wonder this morning, Have you become a disciple of the Lord Jesus yet? Have you asked him to forgive you? Are you learning to become a God-loving giver? If you've not become a disciple of Jesus yet, you could become one today. And he wants you to live as someone who remembers his warning. He wants you to live as someone who remembers what pleases him most. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. And I'm going to pray a prayer, and you might like to say it to the Lord Jesus in your head as I say it slowly. Lord Jesus, I admit I have been like the self-loving show-offs. Thank you that you came into the world as the God-loving giver, and that you gave your life for sinners like me on the cross. Lord Jesus, please forgive my sins. Please teach me to live as a God-loving giver like you. Hear my prayer for your name's sake. Amen.